It's 6 p.m. I might start the meeting. I'd like to welcome councillors and staff and members of the gallery to the council meeting of the 28th. But 26th today of October meeting. And I'd like to start with the, I'll declare the meeting opened at 6.01 p.m. I'd like to start with the council prayer. Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. I'd also like to acknowledge the Wangal people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. And I would like to pay respect to their elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to our other First Nations people who may be present with us this evening. I remind residents and members of the gallery that the meeting is being recorded for the preparation of the minutes and also for promoting public transparency. These recordings are subject to the provisions of the Government Information Act 2009 and are made available for public review via the council website. I note there's an apology for Councillor Del Duca for his apology to be approved and leave to be granted. It's been moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Fernando Cook. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Declarations of interest by councillors.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor, I have one, and it's item 75/21, the adoption of the amendment of number 5 to Burwood Development Control Plan for Livingston Street and Sim Avenue, Burwood. I have a residence in, I live in Livingston Street, so it's a significant pecuniary conflict of interest, and I will recuse myself from that discussion.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other declarations? I might just declare a less than significant non-pecuniary conflict of interest for 75/21. Considering it deals with Livingston Street and Sim Avenue, the DCP, I can remain in the chair. It's because my wife's relatives, I think, own a property in Woodside Avenue, I believe, which borders that street. So I just thought I'd declare that. Any other declarations?
Yes. Regarding item 75, I'd like to declare that a pecuniary interest. Because I do have own a property which is along Burwood Road, 183E Burwood Road, which is adjoining the precinct. So I guess I have to excuse myself from the item.
Thank you, Councillor. So Councillor Fernando Cook and Chan will be simbined when we're discussing that item. Excellent. There's any declarations of political donations? I note no declarations. Recording of councillors voting on the planning decisions. So we'll need to record that. Confirmation of minutes of the previous minutes been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Fernando Cook. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. So we've got a number of speakers for one speaker for open forum and then a number of speakers for the address by the public agenda items. I'll just remind speakers before we let you in to speak that you also acknowledge the meeting is being recorded and forms part of the records which are retained by council and made publicly accessible. Speakers must refrain from providing personal information unless it is central to the subject being discussed. In particular, where the personal information relates to anyone not present at the meeting, council accepts no responsibility for any defamatory comments made. There's also a limit of 3 minutes per speaker. So I believe the first speaker is to go into open forum is Marcus Holden. So Marcus, welcome. You might want to turn on your video now if you like,
yeah,
and I'll ask you to mute and you can start.
Okay. Hi. How are you, councillors? Look, this is about the rezoning of the north side of Mitchell Street R2 with the provision that the land at the back of 94 and 96 be subject to some sort of caveat on the R2. In other words, what council's done is that they've said there can be a multi-storey development on that site. Now, first off, the residents weren't aware of this change in the proposal. The proposal was put up on the website during lockdown. No one knew about it. There was no notification. So that's the first thing, which we're very upset about. The second thing is that it just says multi-storey development. I don't know what that means. I mean, how can you have a multi-storey development in an R2? That's the second thing. You know, I've never heard of it. I don't know that that's actually, you can do that. The third thing is in the last meeting, there was a discussion about using the driveways as egress and ingress for the proposed town. Well, it was townhouses, but according to council, multi-storey. The residents have suggested some alternatives to this, one of them being access through number 4 or number 5 Wattle Avenue, which is at the back of the property in question. The second alternative is to use the existing right of way between 96 and 104 Mitchell Street, rather than using the driveways. The third one is to create a driveway from King Street parallel to the driveway of the townhouses in King Street for access to the rear of 94 and 96. And none of these have been suggested by council. There's been no suggestion of any of this, and we're actually very upset that we weren't part of this this discussion. The other thing that is a suggestion is perhaps, since there are no community gardens in Burwood, that perhaps council would like to create this as a community garden rather than wanting to, because this is not about land allocation. This is about money. We're talking about land allocation. There's no garden in the council area. So anyway, that's the points I'd like to make. But I understand that the councillors can ask me questions and I can ask the councillor questions, if that's correct. According to that's what it said on the thing. You guys can ask me questions.
No. Open forum is giving you 3 minutes to speak. But Marcus, we received just quickly, because your 3 minutes is pretty much up now, but we've received your submission, so we're going to get the GM and Dylan to respond to you in writing and possibly meet with you. Okay.
All right. Well, very quickly, I mean, it hasn't been approved yet by state parliament, has it? It's only been approved by council. Is that correct?
I don't believe it's been gazetted. But there are things the GM and Dylan will be able to speak to you about.
Okay. Well, that would be fine. I appreciate that.
Thanks, right. Marcus. Thank you.
Good.
Next speaker is Marissa Sarah Stratfield, who's speaking against the adoption of amendment number 5 of the Build Development Control Plan 2013. Welcome, Marissa.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. I really appreciate it. I'm Marissa Sara, and I'm speaking on behalf of the owners of 22 and 24 Cooper Street, which are myself, my mum and my husband. And I'd like to speak against the adoption of amendment number 5 to the DCP. We're in support of development and against the addiction of restrictions over and above the DCP. We feel that Cooper Street is a perfect location for medium density development with ready access to green space and transport and shops. We don't support the proposed changes because it will result in fewer people being able to live and enjoy Cooper Street. And I just want to explain, we say this because we lived at 22 Cooper Street for many years and we brought up our kids there. We know how great it is to be able to walk to the park and to the shops and to catch a bus and trains and get everywhere with young kids. We also had elderly neighbours in the apartment block behind us who were able to stay and live in place well into their 90s because they could catch a lift down to the street and get to the shops and get to the chemist. Living in Cooper Street, we feel really is living in the 15-minute walkable city, and we support more people being able to enjoy this area. We don't support changes over and above the DCP, as this will, we feel, will negatively affect the potential of the sites to house people and isn't in line with the government's aim to provide affordable, more affordable housing near transport. We're also concerned that with the timing, that these changes, that if any changes are made prior to the Land and Environments Court's decisions, that this could result in extra legal costs, which will be borne by the ratepayers. And just lastly, as we've written in the past to Council, we hope that Council at some stage considers keeping a consistent zoning to the western end of Cooper Street, that is to include 22, 24 and 26 Cooper, so that these properties don't become islands and so that the same zoning logically continues to the end of the Burwood Council area, which is the end of Cooper Street. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Nicholas Nasser as well, speaking against the amendment number 5 of the Burwood Development Control Plan 2013. Nicholas, are you there? Nicholas? Is Nicholas there? Nicholas, we can't hear you. Nicholas? No, Nicholas. Okay.
He's not in the attendees. Okay.
All right. Michael from Seal Street, who's speaking in favour of the heritage, the findings of the heritage investigation for 11 Seal Street. Burwood. Michael, welcome.
How you going? Yeah, thank you. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we're fine.
Fantastic. My wife and I have lived next door to, I'll just read through a statement. My wife and I have lived next door to 11 Seal Street for 40 years, and on behalf of many of the local residents and other interested parties, I'd like to read through a statement of support for the heritage listing of the property. 11 Seal Street is a great example of a well-preserved Federation family home built by locals that have walked in Burwood Street for many decades. When entering the property, you could quite easily step back in time to 1914 and imagine Joseph Ireland's wife, Flora, baking cakes for afternoon tea in the wood-fired oven that still works today. With a focus on its preservation, the community spirit has developed with a passion to preserve Burwood's heritage. There has been overwhelming community support with over 60 submissions in favour of preservation. This support continues, and there is a notable sense of joy when I spoke to people about the positive findings of the recent independent GML report. The GML report prepared by professionals in this field was comprehensive and confirmed the findings of the community preliminary assessment study with 5 heritage listing criteria being met. Its recommendations match community expectations that the property be heritage listed. Meeting 5 criteria is an extraordinary level of heritage significance. On the basis of the Federation style house alone, it could qualify for heritage listing. The GML report states it has a very high degree of integrity and intactness. It also exemplifies the translation of the Federation Queen Anne architectural style and features. However, what makes this property stand out above the rest is its link with Burwood's development and amazing community history through either land ownership or association with notable people. The Seal family owned the land from 1835. The connection with the Ireland family was cemented in 1861 when Julia Seal married William Ireland. These families have contributed directly to Burwood's development and advancement as convicts, early settlers, and major Burwood land and business owners. As hotel and innkeepers of the Angel Inn, New Inn, Islands Hotel, now the Royal Sheath, they were frontline representatives for Burwood. Eat, rest, sleep, Burwood will look after you. These people were that important to Burwood that Seal Street was named after Julia's father, Thomas, and Island Street named after her husband, William. Both Thomas Seal and William Island are recognised as district pioneers. The house was built for Julia and William's son Joseph on the land that they gave to him in preparation for his wedding and his new family in 1914. Joseph was a respected Burwood community member for 85 years, representing Burwood for a fair percentage of it with his parents in the Island Hotel 200 metres away. an official souvenir booklet that outlines the Burwood 1924 Jubilee celebrations as a fitting tribute to William Ireland. Under the heading of Men of Mark, his picture is appropriately displayed next to George Hostings, who is known for St. Cloud and Appian Way. His wife, Julia, was elected the Queen of Burwood with an overwhelming majority in the celebrations. In conclusion, the property ticks all the boxes for heritage listing, and Burwood Council has a unique opportunity to preserve a property that is clearly connected to its own heritage. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Nicholas Nasser, I believe you're on now. Nicholas, are you there? Nicholas?
Hello, yes. Sorry, I hadn't received the link.
That's all good. Do you want to give your presentation? You're speaking against the amendment number 5 of the Burwood Development Control Plan. You've got 3 minutes. Did you want to speak?
I certainly do. Thank you for the opportunity.
Go for it.
So I'm just making this submission on behalf of the residents of Southside Cooper Street. I'd first like to acknowledge that the two submissions in support of the DCP, I believe, are being withdrawn. These two owners are now in opposition to the DCP. They might be speaking later to the matter. I'm not sure if they have already. We're specifically objecting to the side and rear setback controls, which go over and above those of the apartment design guide and the LEP. The DCP suggests an additional 2 metres be added to the apartment design guide separation if a development application is lodged for a site adjoining a heritage item. This can be seen in figure 22B of the exhibited document. This would mean on a site of say 30 metres width, which is well above the minimum 20 metre lot width required for an RFB in the Burwood LGA, the built form would have an area of approximately 14 metres. There'd be 16 metres given to setbacks. This would essentially appear as a matchstick in the streetscape and would be completely out of character of examples of such development which have occurred within the Burwood LGA in the R1 zone. One of these in particular would be 24A to 26 Gordon Street in Burwood. This is in an R1 zone. That building is approved and constructed. It's in an 11-storey height limit area. It's constructed a height over the 11 metres, which is a 4-storey building. This was also approved with 3-metre side setbacks to the heritage items on both sides. And this is well below the required 5-metre separation, which is generally required in the R1 zone under the Burwood DCP. This is really just an example to show that these type of setbacks are not required and you can achieve sufficient separation and a suitable built form on a site with setbacks less than those required or less than the DCP is currently suggesting. I'd also just like to point out that figure 22B also shows a rear setback control of 6 metres. This is at odds with clause 6.6 of the LEP, which makes provision for a 3-metre rear setback. This setback being 3 metres was justified in the planning proposal and is a result of shifting the built form away from the northern boundary of Cooper Street and away from the heritage conservation area. I just feel like that increased setback there might put more pressure on that northern boundary.
That's 3 minutes, Nicholas. Is anything you want to finalise?
Yeah, just the last thing, if that's okay. The most disturbing thing about the DCP is a lack of savings provisions. It is established best practice for savings provisions to be provided so as to allow for fair and equitable assessment of existing development applications. And we feel that savings provisions should be added to the DCP. We don't believe the DCP is required at all. The savings provisions should be added if it was to proceed.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Thank you.
And the next speaker is Patrick, speaking on behalf in favour of the heritage listing for the findings of 11 Leal Street, Seal Street, sorry, Bill. Patrick, you there?
Yes, I am.
Patrick, can you hear me? Welcome to speak. So you've got 3 minutes, Patrick, just to remind you.
All right. I can't see myself on screen, but John, can you hear me where you are?
I can hear you perfectly. We can't see you. We can see.
Very strange, but no problem. I won't take up more time than necessary.
The LA Bridge, I think it is, but anyway.
Just picture my face there in front of it. Many thanks to Burwood Council for the work which it's done in the past in terms of 11 Seal Street. The heritage report, which was commissioned by council, confirms the significance of the property in many respects from a heritage point of view. As Michael pointed out, there were multiple significant criteria which were met as found by the report writer himself. I've been asked by residents, and indeed I willingly wish to thank council and the various councillors for giving the consideration to the property in question, for undertaking the work in terms of arranging a heritage report, and also not only the 11 Seal Street, but the surrounding areas in terms of looking at whether they should form part of a conservation area. The Burwood Council now has an opportunity in terms of listing 11 Seal Street as a heritage property to show Burwood residents that Burwood Council does indeed care about Burwood heritage and Burwood history. It is willing to address the concerns of its residents in the Burwood municipality, and that it's willing to take on board what their wishes are. Burwood Council is to be truly congratulated for undertaking the work which it has, and for listening to the dozens of people who have taken a step of putting forward their concerns in support of the listing of the house in question. I don't wish to say any more other than to repeat that Burwood Council has a great opportunity of showing residents and other people in the area that it truly does care about Burwood history, Burwood heritage, and maintaining the streetscape of the Burwood area generally. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Patrick, and thanks to you and Michael for all your hard work on that issue as well. So in saying that, that was our final speaker. There's no mayoral minutes this evening, so we'll go into the first item, which is 73/21. And we're just changing the alignment of the screen there, so you can now see the business paper on there. Do I have a
move? Yeah, our move is recommended.
So it's been moved by Councillor Fiona Cook, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Any questions?
I just have one question before I speak. Just Patrick brought up the issue about looking, and I think it was a part of maybe a resolution, looking at whether it should have a larger scope of
the,
Street. Just to update through you, Mr. Mayor, to the GM.
Mm-hmm. Tommaso? Hello, Tommaso or Dylan, did you want to answer that?
Sorry, Dylan, if you may.
Thank you, and through you, Mr. Mayor. Look, the work to consider the surrounding streets around 11 Seal Street is underway. It's been done on a desktop basis to date. We've held back a little bit just with sort of COVID restrictions and inability to travel freely across restricted areas. But there will be further site visits occurring through November. So we'll be in a position to report that to council at the next available meeting in early 2022.
Excellent. Any further questions? Councillor, did you wish to speak?
Oh, yeah. Look, I just wanted to congratulate the residents, really, firstly, to bringing it to council's for council's consideration and for the mayor to put it forward as a mayoral minute. And I was surprised when I read the report about how many ticks that it had to become a local heritage item. It wasn't just about the aesthetics of that transition between Queen Anne and Federation, but it was also the owners, the islands and the seals. I love that eat, drink, sleep, with Burwood. I think that should be our motto. I also think the Queen of Burwood has a nice ring about it as well. We should bring that back. But I really congratulate the staff on moving this forward. But really, kudos goes to the residents. And so I'm happy to support the recommendation.
Councillor Crichton.
Thank you. Could I just quickly add that I echo Councillor Ferner Cook's comments, and I too thank the staff. Considering we just this came out of the mayoral minute only in June, so to arrive almost at this result this evening is really heartening. And I also think it's a very welcomed addition to the 150-year anniversary of Burwood to have another really significant property listed. The heritage of it listed here is really significant as we prepare to celebrate Burwood in 2024. So my thanks to everyone involved and particularly to you, Mr. Mayor, for your mayoral minute. Thank you.
Is there any other speakers? Just quickly, before I hand over to Councillor Ferner Cook for her right of reply, want to congratulate the staff on the process that we went through. Also, a big thank you to the residents for identifying a property that had been missed, and wasn't currently on the list. Having visited the street and knowing the street quite well, it is quite unique in character. You know, one of the things that I guess our council keeps talking about is the growth that we're seeing in the town centre, and it's important that if the government is wanting us to put more housing in our LGA, and our commitment is that we're going to restrict that within the town centre, then we honour that commitment by protecting properties such as this in Seal Street and the character of those streets. Because really that's what, you know, the opportunity cost of having those taller buildings means that we're able to then protect the residential character of those streets. And I think it's really important. I think it was great work. The process has worked quite well. But a big thank you to the councillors for supporting the mayoral minute, but really the residents who drove this, mainly Patrick and Michael, who were quite passionate about ensuring. I remember when they came and saw me to raise the issue, but writing to all the councillors and raising this as an urgent matter, because there was a DA pending on the property. So it was quite important that we were able to get that interim heritage order to protect this property. And Michael, I think, told a great story of the property. And while a lot of properties in our local area have great stories, some of them don't have the same character anymore or have been changed or whatever. But this property, 11 Seal Street, still has that character. And when you walk past it, especially on a nice spring day, and if you stand out the front, you could imagine some of those stories that Michael was talking about and the families that were living in that home. And I think that's the great and the unique thing about Burwood. So it's diversity, but also it's history. So well done to the staff and to Patrick and Michael and all the residents who were involved in raising this issue. And I'm glad we were able to finally protect this property and also continue the work. The work's not finished. Continue the work of looking and investigating whether Seal Street and Island Street and those properties should be a conservation area, considering they're right opposite the Appian Way in the vicinity, as well as some great heritage listed items, but great character homes on that section of Build Road, you know, between Ethel Street and Liverpool Road or the Hume Highway. We've got some beautiful property, especially on that western side and on the eastern side between the Appian Way and so forth. So well done. Councillor Furneaux Cook, your right of reply. If you like, no right of reply, I'll put the motion. All those in favour. I need to see the councillors because this is a planning decision, so we need to have a record of the vote. All those in favour? Those against? So that was unanimous. That was unanimous, Tanya. So Michelle, sorry. So it was all the councillors.
Thank you.
Present. Thank you. Next item is 74/21, the adoption of the amendment number 5 of the Broad Development Control Plan 2013. Do I have a
move? Recommended.
So it's been moved by Councillor Furneaux Cook, seconded by Councillor Manner. Councillor Furneaux Cook, any questions? I've got one quick question to Dylan, if I may. The speakers raised, I think it was Nicholas and Miss Sarah from memory, raised the issue with regards to the increased setbacks on heritage item. Is this new or is this something that we've done in other DCPs, or do you might want to just explain some of the reasoning and behind that, Dylan?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is similar to provisions that we've we are proposing for the Livingston Street urban renewal area, where either identified heritage items or particular heritage features of that precinct are required to have an increased separation between those heritage items and new development. And this is really about achieving an appropriate built form outcome and achieving an appropriate setting for those heritage items. So it is something that we have consulted with in relation to the Livingston precinct as well.
So it's not new to just Cooper Street. This is something that we've done across really most of it. I know that in the town centre we have increased setbacks for properties adjoining heritage items. Is that correct?
We do, yes. And certainly the consideration of heritage items, regardless of whether a setback is a normal consideration of a development application in any regard.
Any speakers? Speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Oh, sorry.
Can I just ask a quick question through you, Mr. Mayor, to the staff? Just in the list of amendments, was any consideration given to mobile phone towers on building rooftops, the scale and the placement of them? I was just surprised not to see it in the list, that's all.
Dylan?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if I can, we haven't got anything in this time that covers mobile phone towers, and that's something that we've put on the list of considerations for the comprehensive DCP review.
Thank you.
Speakers? Councillor Furneaux Cook, Councillor Manner, speakers against. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Is that unanimous? Yep. So that was unanimous as well, Michelle. 75/21, we need to bin Councillor Furneaux Cook and Chan.
Mr. Mayor, sorry, just Councillor Dixon, do you want to speak?
No, I don't want to speak, but I'm against
that. Tommaso?
I voted.
I did vote against the DCP, but he stuck his hand up when I said in favour.
Sorry, Raj, you'll need to press the mic if you want.
Councillor Dixon, are you talking about item 74/21?
You're right, sir.
Are you talking about the previous item, Councillor, just for clarification to for the record of voting? Did you vote in favour or against?
I'm voting in against.
So you voted against the DCP changes? Yes, okay. Is that correct? I can't see you. I can only see part of your face. You need to lower your iPad. Sorry, Councillor. So I might just call that vote again for clarity. All those in favour? Raise your hand, please. Councillor Crichton, I can't see you, so I need you to have your screen on. Yep. So that's Councillor Faker, Furneaux Cook, Manner, Crichton and Chan. Those against?
And I'm against that.
Sorry. Okay, raise your hand, Councillor, just so I can see it for the record, please. And Councillor Dixon is against. Okay. Thank you. Sorry, Councillor, I couldn't see because when I called it quickly, I need you to lower your screen because I can only see part of your face, sorry, when you're voting. You and Councillor Chan.
Okay.
Sorry,
I can speak again.
You're a very pretty gentleman, so you can show your face. Now I can't see you at all. Now I can just see your belly, Councillor Dixon. It's nice. Too much Indian food. I won't be smart. Next item is 75/21. Councillor Ferno Cook and Chan will be binned, I believe, in a respectful way. So I might just get Tanya and Michelle to put them in the waiting room, please, before we start. Councillor Chan.
It doesn't look good. Now,
we've got the two councillors in the waiting room. I'll just confirm that.
Yeah.
I might just get
in the waiting room,
turn that microphone off because I'm getting feedback, please. Councillor Dixon, I might just get you to turn your microphone off. That's off. I'm just getting feedback, sorry. Now, Tanya, Michelle, Councillor Ferno Cook and Chan are in the waiting room.
Correct.
For their minutes, yep, okay. So now, do I have a mover for 75/21? It's been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Can I see you? Okay. Do I have any speakers for? Any questions? I'll put the motion, did you have a question, Councillor?
I have a question, sorry.
So this is item number 5, Development Control Plan for Livingston Street and Sim Avenue Build. 75/21. Your question, Councillor? Councillor, your question?
The question is, this was a part of my learning process of this amendment. And that is, there were a number of people who were in favor of it or against of it. But an ethical question or a philosophical question comes that if the number of people who are in favor of it and there are very few who are in against of it, how they could be represented into the council while making these sort of amendments?
I'm not understanding. Who's the question to, sir?
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
So with regards to this DCP, you want to know how many people are against or had submissions against it or?
No, the question is how everyone could be represented. That is an ethical question. Because it's what we are doing. It's a rule. It's a matter of a rule of law. It's going to be a law tomorrow.
Yes.
And how can we discriminate our own residents one against the other? Because it's a matter of a rule of law.
Well, I'll take that question because the staff would answer technical questions. I think that's part of your role as a councillor, because one of those is you have to make decisions on behalf of the whole community. So it's not just based on certain residents against other residents. It's based on, because it's question time, so we're not going to get into a debate. So for me, being the mayor and a councillor, I guess I'll make decisions based on the community outcomes, community benefits, community representation that residents may have made, staff advice, so the advice of the staff. For me, on the DCP amendment changes that were made for the previous item, for example, one of the questions I had for one of our, for Dylan, who's one of our directors who heads up planning, was the new increased in setbacks new, and it wasn't, because I'm aware that in other DCPs we have increased setbacks when you're trying to develop next to heritage item, which I believe is quite important, because when you're building property, for example, and it's no secret, my family have been building for 40 or 50 years, and they understand that if they're going to build a house or a townhouse or a unit or whatever it may be, if they've purchased the property next to it a heritage item or a heritage item itself, that there are added restrictions. So you can't then want that item to disappear because now you've owned a property next door and want to develop what you want. There's certain laws and guidelines. So council needs to look at the community interest as well as the interest from a planning perspective and how we're going to protect items, for example, like a heritage item. What's the use of having it as a heritage item if you're going to allow boxed buildings right up next to it? You might as well take it off the heritage listing and allow it to be demolished and rebuilt. So, you know, you've then got to stand by the principles of what heritage may mean. So, and protecting those and actually showing the character. Many of the homes that we have are heritage character homes. So you want to actually show that off. And that's why you have these outer spaces. So based on how we make decisions, we don't make decisions to pit residents against each other. We make decisions that are informed, experienced, I believe. I'm talking for myself, and I know yourself, Councillor Dixit and Councillor Manor and Crichton and all the other councillors involved take the same considerations in. We have a lot of workshops, briefings before actually we have council meetings and items. So all that comes into focus. It's not about voting for one resident against the other. And yes, our decisions have consequences, and that's why it's very important we make decisions that are informative and educated and based on expert advice, and really looking at then the impact to the community and the character in the street. So sometimes we make decisions, councillor, that residents aren't happy with, but you know, for whatever reason, we believe are right at the time. So it's a tricky and tough job, but that's why we took this role, and that's why we're councillors, and that's part of our role. So any other questions? Councillor Manor? I hope I answered that correctly for you, Councillor Dixit, and I'm happy to come up to the Strand in my morning walks and sit down and we can have a good ethical debate about this over coffee. And I promise I'll shout you. Councillor Manor.
Just to confirming that the draft amended Burwood Development Control Plans was publicly exhibited to the local residents in the area, and there was no submissions received. So there was nothing that was...
Dylan?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I can confirm that the... draft document was placed on public exhibition for 28 days. I think we sent out the order of 500 letters to residents surrounding the Livingston area and indeed the Cooper Street area, and no submissions were received at all.
So did you wish to speak, Councillor Manor, as the mover? Second to Councillor? No. Okay, any speakers against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Just to raise a hand, please, in favour. That's Councillor Faker, Manor and Crichton. Those against? Councillor Dixit is against. So I move that it, so the motion has been carried. We might just admit, thank you, councillors, we might just admit Councillor Chan and Ferno Cook back in. I've just done that. So we're now up to item 76/21, which is the draft voluntary planning agreement for 14A.
Councillors have returned to the meeting, Mr. Mayor.
It's been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Crichton.
I'm against this one.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll just move to questions. Did someone say something to me earlier? Okay. So any questions, councillors? No questions. Councillor Manor wish to speak? Councillor Crichton? Councillor Fennell-Cook, you're against?
Yeah, I'd like to speak to it, actually.
Yep.
Just as my last VPA, probably. I mean, yep. these are the ones that drive me nuts because they're a new build. And they can provide the parking. It's not like the other one we met where it's a refit and then they just absolutely can't provide the parking. And it's in a boarding house. So that means there's less parking in the beginning. There's significantly less parking. And I'm pretty sure it will be pitched as an executive apartment, which they usually are. So there's no reason why they can't provide the small amount of parking that they're supposed to provide. And there is no plan, it says, for public parking in Croydon. we have no plan for public parking in Croydon. There is the Croydon shops at the Strand, which we've had to put on special parking provisions, a trial of parking, because there's no turnover. There is no public parking for us to provide. So this is just, I mean, the town centre I can understand, but at Croydon, where we've got no plan to put public parking, what is the nexus with this BPA for providing public parking? It just does not stack up at all.
Thanks, Councillor. Let's just raise the question that I've come to mind, if I can ask Dylan before I go back to Councillor Manor for his right of reply. Dylan, so with the VPA for this, does it go into the overall pool of funding or does it have to go into a nexus at Croydon? Because as the councillor mentioned, there's no rule unless you get to make a multi-level car park at Croydon.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the proposal for this particular VPA would be around introducing some additional parking management measures. Councillors may be aware that we've recently installed electronic parking monitoring at the small car park on the edge of the Strand there, and that's around improving both parking enforcement and also improving the ability for council to monitor and gather actual live information about the utilisation of those spaces. This is probably a slightly new area for us in terms of accepting contribution to allow management of existing car parking rather than provision of new. But we do feel that it would address the small shortfall of car parking that would be attributed to this development, also acknowledging that it is within very close proximity to a train station as well.
So what happens to the funding? Does it go into an overall pool or does it have to go into a Croydon pool?
It would go into the overall pool, but I think the intent is that it is spent in the immediate Croydon area to improve car parking management.
And can I just ask, so does, if we were to support the VPA, does it sort of favour the application from a planning point of view, or is that separate on its merits?
It is very much separate on its merits, and I think outlined in the report, you know, it is very clear that the VPA is separate to any consideration of the planning merits of the application. This particular application will be reported to the Burwood Local Planning Panel at their next session in November, and they will be considering the shortfall of car parking on the planning merits.
So has I don't want to get into too much, has council formed an opinion, and I don't need you to tell me that opinion, but have you formed an opinion on the application or?
Yes, we have. And
so what I'm trying to get at is you've had opinions where you've been against or recommended refusal, but you've still done a VPA and put it on the conditions in case it gets overturned. So we've got some form of financial gain for our parking fund. Is that correct or am I?
Well, that's correct. So this is a voluntary planning agreement that's been put forward by the applicant. I think probably in public form outline what the recommendation is for that particular application, because those papers haven't been published publicly as yet. But without this VPA, if the BLPP were minded to approve the application, then we wouldn't have the ability to secure any financial contribution in lieu of car parking.
And if council doesn't support the VPA, technically it could get refused or it could get approved, but it just means we won't get any of the funding. It still have the shortfall in the parking.
That is correct.
Any other questions?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, this question of parking issue always comes.
Yep.
And I always ask a very simple question. How do we determine what is available, what is utilized, and how much is we can? And there has to be some measurable way to find out. Like, for example, if we even go through our data, something around the possible construction or the new ones or the existing one comes out to be 8,000 parkings. as far as I'm aware of. And then look at the, we are in CBD, like our Burwood area is a strategic area. Unless we have some measurable, tangible way of, you know, quantify things, it would be a big problem to all of us. And that's what I feel personally.
Okay.
We are having very, very good projects, but unless we have, so because I don't find a very reasonable way of possibly verify a method by which the decision, objective decision, which I'm taking is not an informed decision. And that's why I personally say I won't be supporting this.
Okay.
But that is the reason.
Okay, that's okay, Councillor. Councillor Ferner-Cook, do you have a question?
With a question with that VPA, our policy, I thought it was only for Burwood Town Centre and Strathfield Town Centre. When was the decision made to extend it out into other areas? And is that part of the policy, or is it, I'd like to understand, because I understand that the VPA is for the developments in the town centres. We have a policy. I didn't know we had one for our neighbourhood centres.
I'm sure, Dylan, did you want to...
Through you, Mr Mayor, Councillor Ferner-Cook, you're correct in that currently the VPA contributions towards parking is limited to the Burwood Town Centre and Strathfield Town Centres. However, we have elected to apply, a more flexible and broader consideration of that policy to this particular circumstance. This particular site is quite constrained in terms of its frontage. Whilst it meets our minimum frontage areas, it's essentially a single detached dwelling that's been left over between two adjoining development sites, which have been redeveloped over the last 5 or 6 years into residential flat buildings. So we've received representation of the applicant, about the isolated nature of their site. They've come forward with a scheme which is certainly in principle supportable, albeit we have a shortfall in car parking that we need to address. So we have elected to apply the parking policy more broadly than we might otherwise.
Councillor Ferner-Cook, you've got your hand raised. Sorry, I might just get you to unmute. You're just on mute. Councillor Ferner-Cook, you're on mute.
You see. My concern is that we have a policy. I don't think it's in the remit of the staff to actually decide to broaden that policy without it coming back to the elected representatives. Because, and that's a question, I mean, if it is a policy, it should, why would the decision made just for this site? And did the staff have concerns about the precedents that this would create applying a town centre policy to outside of the town centres?
Dylan?
Through you, Mr Mayor, I think in this particular circumstance, we were taking into account the very specific circumstances of this site being so close to public transport, and also probably anticipating the strength of any argument the applicant might have if, for example, we took the decision to refuse the application on the lack of car parking. The view was taken that we would be unlikely to be successful on an appeal of that nature, and therefore took the applicant down the pathway of the voluntary planning agreement. And that's also something the applicant volunteered.
Just through you, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry, go on, Councillor Ferner-Cook, you had a follow-up.
Just a follow-on question. About precedence, and particularly with it being a boarding house which has less parking, is the first question. Was that considered? And secondly, using it for an already existing ongoing funded car parking initiative, the question is, how does parking across the road in a 2-hour zonings impact the usability of the lack of parking provision within this DA? The usages are not the same. So how does this VPA support a parking when it's not the same sort of parking that's required?
Dylan, did you want to?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think the consideration there and the issue of the parking management is really about how we can monitor and enforce car parking. The introduction, I suppose, specifically to the electronic monitoring at the Strand car park is a trial, and it may well be a trial that's expanded onto surrounding streets, and that allows us to monitor the utilisation of those car parking spaces and also undertake more targeted enforcement as well. So if, for example, we see residents of this boarding house utilising on-street car parking and maybe having a little bit less disregard for our parking enforcement officers, it allows us to actually monitor that situation in a live sense and actually go out and do some targeted enforcement with those residents.
So, can I just ask a question? And I don't want to get into the DA issue of it, but I mean, and I support the VPA policy for parking because I'd rather put visitor parking in public spaces that everyone can access rather than closed up in buildings. But in saying that, with this one, it's in Grosvenor Street, which is a really tight one-way street and has really limited parking. Why isn't there the opportunity to actually reduce the number of rooms? Because you're talking two spots. In a boarding house, it's, I think, one car spot per two rooms. So they'll go from 22 to 18. So they're still getting the boarding house, but they're just not getting as many boarding rooms. Is that being considered?
To your question, Mr. Mayor, certainly the design and scale of this particular proposal has received considerable attention from staff, and that there has been a reduction over and above what was originally submitted. And I think the question would then come back to an overall development feasibility on behalf of the applicant.
Well, I mean, I'd argue against feasibility, but I don't want to even get into that. Mm. But I think if council was not to support the VPA, would there at least be a consideration that they come back because they can't use, they've still got to tick the box of visitor parking, technically. So how would that be addressed from a planning perspective?
Maybe
don't answer that because we're not allowed to get into the planning. Councillor Crichton.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor, can I ask the Director of Planning, please? With the explanatory notes to the planning agreement on page 41, it quotes in the bottom paragraph, the monetary contributions is $53,055. That's the price for one spot, not two. I just want to make sure that that isn't an error or...
Through you, Mr. Mayor, thank you for the bond of clarification there. The applicant put representation in and were seeking to apply the 50% discount that's available for contributions in lieu of car parking within the business zones only. when this report was presented back to us, we corrected that error and went back to the applicant and renegotiated back to the full financial contribution. So there is a slight error there in the explanation notes, but that has been corrected, and the financial contribution is for the two car parking spaces at the full rate, which is $104,000, I believe.
Thank you for the clarification.
And the other question, I guess, is that was raised was the issue of precedence, if this was supported, considering from a policy perspective, we probably should look at, if we're going to do this, we should probably look at changing the policy first, or at least showing some intention that we're going to change the policy. Dylan?
I think you
where you might have a clause in the policy then to allow, for example, staff who are assessing to then have certain criteria that could be met to say, well, while it's outside, because of these circumstances, it meets that criteria, and that's why we're happy to support it. I would have thought that would be... And how many people have made that decision? So has this been a planning team decision, or is it one sort of assessor's decision?
This is... maybe just to go to the first point, I think there is a need to consider the car parking standards in highly accessible locations such as this, specifically where it's close to public transport. And I think we will be having a further consideration on that particular issue as we look at the Burwood North precincts and what type of parking standards is appropriate in those very high highly accessible locations. So I think that will be a conversation we'll return to as we move through the comprehensive LEP and DCP review process as well. In terms of, I guess, the specifics of this application, this was something that was considered, I guess, across both my area within the City Strategy Directorate and also in consultation with the manager traffic as well.
Can I just realised something, sorry. I've got a relative that owns a property on Yonge Street, which is on the corner. So considering you're sort of going a bit outside the policy here, it's probably because if I get involved in a decision, it could possibly, I just realised that, I apologise. If I get involved in a decision, it could set a possible precedent for policy, which could then mean that I'm sort of favouring or not favouring someone who might own property who's a relative. So it's probably best, Tanya, that I declare an interest and remove myself. I'm sorry, I just realised that because I was thinking of the actual street. So I've just got to declare conflict of interest, non-pecuniary. I've got a relative, I think it's, because I remember now, it's my uncle's house. We used to play cricket. The PLC across the road, it was a park in the cul-de-sac street. I believe they still own the property. So non-pecuniary, conflict of interest, as I have a relative probably about 30 metres or 40 metres away, I would say, owns a property in the proximity of Grosvenor Street. So it's probably best. I'll hand over to the Deputy Mayor. You might want to bin me, Tanya. Sorry about that, councillors. Honest mistake. Just realised it. Probably best to...
So, Mr. Mayor, can I just myself. Clarify I your...
I apologise to Dylan and staff for getting involved in the discussion, but that's... So you might want to bin me, Tanya, and I'll hand over to Councillor
Cox. Yes, I just need to clarify. So you're declaring a significant non-pecuniary interest and stepping down?
Well, I believe so. I would say it would be a conflict of interest where I could remain if it was within the realms of the policy, considering you're making a decision sort of outside the policy, which could then possibly set a precedent. You know, if I've got a relative that owns a property there, what's to say that they can't use that in the future or whatever? So I shouldn't really participate in the debate, I believe, because it could swing the decision. So it's, councillors can make that decision without me.
Okay, we'll be declaring, recording that as a significant, and we'll ask you to just step down. Yep. Deputy Mayor, will you be taking over chairing?
Yep, can you just bin me? Please hang on.
A moment. Thank you. Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. So this is the very first item that I've chaired, so I'll probably need a hand here. But I did have my hand raised as I was just wondering, given the complexity of this item and the likelihood that it will set a precedent, that is there any time constraint? Could we look at deferring the item and it coming back to us at the next meeting with a little bit more information? That would be my question to the Director of Planning.
Um, through you, Deputy Mayor. I might just have to seek clarification on governance on the ability for council to make a decision on this matter at our next November meeting. And failing that, it would go to the February council meeting. This is allocated to appear before the BLPP in November, possibly December. And ideally, we would need a decision on the VPA prior to that meeting.
Councillors, just conferring with our governance team as well here. Our preference would probably be that if it is deferred, the item be discussed at the February meeting, because being that it might set a precedence, then it's a planning decision, it'll probably be more appropriate not to have it at the November meeting during caretaker.
Through you, Madam Chair, the current motion that's on the table is unsuccessful, I foreshadow a motion to defer.
Okay. Sorry, I can only see a little portion of my screen at the moment. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, so... And we have Councillor Manner as the mover, is that correct?
That's right. I support deferment. Given what I've listened to, there is some issues in regards to even the policy within the council. So how do we go about that? Do we vote upon it first? Or
I mean, Councillor Fennell-Cole.
I think you can
If we vote against the motion, then Councillor Fennell-Cox foreshadow a motion, that means Councillor Fennell-Cox's motion will be up. And we support Councillor Fennell-Cox's motion, then basically we are deferring the whole thing until a later stage, isn't it? Yes.
Madam Chair, Council is of a mind to withdraw the motion, and that is acceptable to the mover and seconder, then the recommendation is withdrawn and replaced with the alternative motion that the item be deferred.
Okay, thank you for your guidance. Councillor Manner, are you in agreement with that?
I am.
Mover, yes. Thank you. And as I was the seconder, I support that. And now if we could have the new recommendation, the new resolution, motion.
That the this item number, I can't see the item number, is deferred until the designated February council meeting for further consideration.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Would you like to speak to the motion?
No, I think council staff understand that more information would be required about the implications of accepting as recommended, as this item was recommended, not just for this standalone item.
Thank you.
I've already said that I have problems with the precedent. I also have problems with their ability to, that they can knock off two units and not create this minefield that we're about to get into.
Thank you. Ideally, it would probably come back to a council workshop for a detailed discussion. So I'll put the recommendation that the item be deferred into the February meeting of council for further considerations. We've got the mover and we've got the seconder. Show of hands. Thank you. I'll put the motion. Okay, Carrie, thank you. So, thank you.
Resolved. The Mayor.
Congratulations, Deputy.
thank you. It's very hard when you can only see part of the screen. It's tiny, but that's okay. Thank you. thank you.
Mr. Mayor, can you hear us?
No, it's me. You're on mute.
We'll just get back. So next item, I believe, is 77/21, sustainability. Councillor Fennell-Cook, we've got a mover first and a seconder. Moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Manna. Questions?
The questions that I raised before, particularly if it will council staff look at council's projects and also festivals in the sustainability policy, and I'm a bit concerned if there are big changes that they should they then also go out on public exhibition. My concern is we're still travelling down a quite a narrow train track, and even if we go on exhibition, can we add in?
Oh, we can always add. I believe we could add. How about we take those issues, because you raised them in the briefing, on notice, and we'll get the GM to investigate them. So it was the targets with regards to the festival?
It was generally the targets that are in Leading Burwood, which was the ones in our remit, that they are measurable targets rather than motherhood statements. And secondly, that there are consideration about our events, about a circular economy and recycling provisions, and that with our gardens and parks, that we consider water harvesting and securing and the security of, you know, drought resistant plants, etc. So we're not spending a lot of water
plus the issue of Green Star buildings.
Oh, and the Green Star buildings.
So have you got all those down, Tommaso? Did you want to provide a response at the moment, or do you want to take that on notice and maybe...
We've taken a notice of all the comments and suggestions, and I would encourage all councillors, as obviously we are about to enter the public exhibition period, to continue to provide any commentary or suggestions. The same will apply to the community, of course, and we purposely expanded the consultation phase until, I think, mid-December, so to give us plenty of time.
Okay. Any other questions? So that was moved by Councillor... Oh,
through you, Mr. Mayor, there's one question.
Yep.
And to our involvement officer, that what competence does the council has to deal with the issues of air and noise pollution or dust pollution at present? And
okay, Harry, did you want to respond?
Yeah,
Mr. General Manager first, he'll direct it.
Sorry.
Yep, go on.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, look, council does have environmental health officers and compliance officers who are trained and can respond to complaints about air noise or water pollution. They have training in all the necessary legislation and are able to apply that legislation should the need arise, just as part of their ordinary duties.
Through you, yeah. Mr. Mayor, when I say competence, I mean when we have the construction site at place, when the dust emerges out of it, or a noise emerges out of it, how many cases, if we do have competence, how many cases has been reported to the council, or what? How do they comply with those provisions of noise and dust pollution?
Can I suggest that we take that on notice, Councillor, only because I don't think Harry's going to have that figure.
I don't have the exact... Sorry, through you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have the exact figure, but I do know that the compliance officers do respond, and there have been some significant fines issued to developers around the area where they have been polluting waters through discharge of uncontrolled waters and noise issues. I have been personally involved with some construction sites to rectify noise issues. But yeah, look, we do. I couldn't give you the exact number, as the mayor has stated, but we do have a regular compliance and investigation procedure in place.
All good.
Any other questions? So that was moved by Councillor Manor and, sorry, it was moved by Councillor Chan. And speakers, speak. All those in favour? Aye. Those against? Sorry, Councillor Dixon, I didn't see that, if that was against or for.
Oh, that's for, yeah.
Oh, okay, so that was unanimous. Next item, councillors, is 69/21, which is the waste service trial. Been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manor. Can I suggest that we just make a small addition that it include a, what was that word we discussed in the briefing? Sorry, Tommaso.
Yes, Harry, I don't know if you had a chance. Harry, have you had a chance to, or Dylan, yes. Have you had a chance to work on some wording?
Yes, I would recommend that we put a an additional recommendation in that the existing weekly 120 litre waste bin collection service continue whilst the trial is underway, and that it be reviewed or tested at regular intervals with 3 monthly audits possibly, yep. Just to determine the efficiency of that service and the need to continue on with a weekly service. Yeah.
Councillor Crichton, you're happy with that? Councillor Manor? Speakers? For, against, put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Next item is 78/21, which is on page 53, Climate Council Cities Power Partnership proposed memberships. Been moved by Councillor Fernand Cook, seconded by Councillor Chan. Speakers, questions? Speakers against, put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. 93/21, moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manor. Questions? Speakers against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 60/21, which is adoption of fees and charges, Henley Park, Blair Park. Been moved by...
Can I just... I've got a question, just regards to
I might just get a mover first.
Okay, yes, sorry.
Been moved by... Do you want to move it for discussion, Councillor? Like, move it, Councillor, for discussion purposes, or?
I just get someone else to move it, I think.
Have I got a mover? Be moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Chan. Councillor Fennacook, you've got a question?
Yeah, just on page 59. Oh, well, first page 58, it says that the considered the sporting needs, particularly in light of current impacts, and they had discussions, further consultation. What was the result of that consultation? Secondly, also on page 59, it says the storage fee and is further reduced as an introductory fee in 2021. That might be a typo. That's in the third box. And I've got two other questions.
First question first. What was the response from sporting clubs, Brooke? I can see your...
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So if councillors recall, we went out on public exhibition, we had the one response, we then had the councillor briefing, and in that briefing, we then, following feedback from councillors, we went and had multiple discussions. So they took the... because of COVID, we didn't call all the groups together. That was phone discussions, emails, and some of them were on a daily basis, probably for a period of 2 weeks, going back and forth, trying to understand what the current user group's view was, what the on what the fees and charges should be, and going back and forth. So it was quite very individual consultation that we undertook rather than bringing everyone together as a group. In terms of where we've arrived, so the office space and the storage fee were the two items that we had feedback on during public exhibition in particular. And really what we have proposed is to instead reduce it to a fee of $600 is what we're proposing for. It is 21-22 because we've never had fees and charges in place for these items. So what we're actually, so that I think the year being referred to is that we're bringing in these fees and charges, particularly because the impetus for this report was the completion of the Henley Park Amenities Building with the range of new facilities. So we're bringing it in outside of our usual fees and charges, and that's why we're proposing it would be implemented in this financial year that we're currently in. But further to that, also recognising the impact on clubs, the recommendation of the report has a commencement date of the 1st of January 2022 for the new fees and charges starting.
Can I ask just on that, what was the response of the clubs, and why can't we just pretty much have it as a start time of 1 July 2022? It's a new financial year. I mean, $600, not going to break the bank, that's all.
Yeah, so that's not the only, there's other fees and charges in this report. They were the ones that we were consulting with further. No one has proposed any sort of significant issues with any of the other fees and charges proposed. What we're actually trying to achieve is to have in place booking arrangements and make clearer arrangements. Previously, there haven't been clear booking arrangements and there haven't been multiple groups accessing these sites in the way that now we're hoping to achieve. So really, it's a matter for council if council would like to delay. We really want to have...
What was the response of the sporting clubs, Brooke, in those discussions?
We've arrived at that specific fee set of fees. So we're coming down from $3,000 and $1,500 down to $600. So it is very nominal, the fees. In the councillor briefing that we had a couple of months ago, we outlined what the actual costs are to council, and we're realistic in saying that we're not recovering our costs by any means, but what we're trying to do is bring into place arrangements so that firstly, we've got clear usage arrangements in place. We can also have multiple groups being able to access these public facilities.
I understand that. So what was the response to the sport, the $600?
Yeah, so they were, I guess no clubs are supposed to be transparent. No clubs are supportive of any fees. However, the fees that we've proposed were suggested to us from those clubs. So we've come right down based on the fact that they've said that this is a, particularly Burwood Football Club have suggested specifically these fees of being appropriate for what the facilities are on offer. We're also aware that those fees are less than fees being proposed at...
You started at 3,000 and now there's, so you're proposing 600.
Yeah.
Okay. And the soccer season usually kicks off in March, is it?
April? Yes, however, we've got bookings that kicked off this Saturday just passed. So there are, whilst the soccer season commences at that period of time, there is usage happening right now.
So it's to capture other users. So it's not just focused on, okay.
It's not just soccer, it's cricket, it's other sports as well.
Councillor, you've got your hand.
Yes. Just with that, because we also added with the, firstly, just to back on what the Mayor was saying, on page 60 it says, this resulted in one submission during the public exhibition period. So through you, Mr. Mayor, so Brooke is talking about the negotiation from that submission. That's the first question. And the second one is, my concern is just this 50% discount to community sporting groups, which is fantastic. But it finishes on the 1st of January. And as the Mayor was saying, one of the significant users of Henley and Blair are the soccer clubs, and they don't kick off, and that's not a pun, until, you know, February, March. So that will be relevant for them. So I propose that it would go to it, you know, at least they'd have some sort of skin in the game for this. So just to ask that question, are they actually going to have any advantage of the 50% discount at all? And secondly, that question about the one submission, and was that a reflection of your commentary?
That was a long question, Councillor.
So I might just go to... the first part around the submission. So there was one submission from Burwood Football Club during the public exhibition phase. However, we went beyond the public exhibition period requirements, and following the closing of that period, we briefed councillors, and then following that, it's been over a month now of ongoing discussion and feedback with those groups. I don't know the total number of emails and phone calls, but there would have been numerous phone calls and emails to ascertain further feedback. The written submission, and particularly that the proposed fees that are there, came after the public submission period. So it's not just the one written submission we've taken into consideration.
Okay, just to back on that through, Mr. Mayor, I understand there's been a lot of toing and throwing, but was there an understanding and a resolution with those users? I mean, you can be, like, everyone can be basically on the other side of the court with a number of emails, and I understand that's fantastic that council staff have engaged, but yep. Is this achievable? Is this not going to break them? I mean, this is the problem, as I said last time, we were concerned about whether some of these sporting groups are going to survive post-pandemic. So my concern is, are we going to feed them out of existence?
Yeah, so my response to that would be that it has been a back and forth process. The groups, particularly, even we've added in another new discounted rate, which is a seasonal rate for local sporting groups for the use of the new community room at Henley Park. So further to what we'd initially put out, which was $8.75 per hour. Now, we've looked at their total hire over the sporting season, which would be $3,080, and reduce that further as well. So my understanding, and I've not been the person directly involved in all the discussions, so however, from the two staff members that have, is that the groups felt that they had capacity to pay these rates and were satisfied with the reduction. And that's probably all I could say as to whether or not they prefer free use over any fees and charges. I'm sure that most groups would. However, these are suggested rates and suggested improvements based on feedback from those discussions with the various groups. That's probably all I can say.
We might just move it on. What we'll do is, I haven't received any correspondence. I know I saw Ian Holmes a few weeks back, and he seemed pretty comfortable with the discussions that the clubs were having with. But if there is any issues, there's the Merrill Discretionary Grant. I think we need to put some fees and charges in place to capture other groups as well, that might be external, that are coming and wanting to use it. So maybe we just support it, and then obviously if there's an issue with the soccer clubs, they can come and talk to me. There's grant programs that we have that we can support.
If I can just add one further comment. So just on Councillor Fiona Cook's second question, which was about the usage of the fee waiver up until the end of this 31st of December. The reason why we've applied that discount now is it's consistent with the Merrill Bounce Back, the Merrill Minute. All of those initiatives were through until the 31st of December. And that wouldn't preclude council from extending that further at that particular time. So I think that's a key thing, is that we've actually just tried to align that discounted rate for use of sports fields as well as amenities between now and then. And there are soccer clubs utilising, Burwood Football Club, as I mentioned, did actually commence their bookings on Saturday.
And we might just wrap it up in the interest of time. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, your video keeps freezing. I'm not sure any more out and back in.
I don't know why. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I might just leave it for a minute. I don't know what it is. So I had Councillor Manner and Councillor Chan and moved that speakers for, speakers against. I'll put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Next item, if you bear with me, is the investment report 95/21. Removed by Councillor Fernow Cook, seconded by Councillor Chan.
Through you, questions? Mr. Mayor.
Yes,
Councillor Mr. Dixon. Mayor, there's a question that if the question is related with the, you know, it's kind of a state of a flux we are passing through. Do we have any risk mitigation strategy with respect to our investments?
General Manager?
I announce we have Wayne, our CFO, on the line. I might ask Wayne to answer that.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. our risk strategy is in accordance with our... Yes, can you hear me? Hello? Yes.
Yeah, yeah, we can hear you, Wayne.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. Our risk strategy is in accordance... Our investments are in accordance with our investment policy, and we have a an investment advisor also that assists us with our investments.
All right. Any other questions? It's been moved by Councillor, who was it? Councillor Fernow Cook and seconded by Councillor Chan. And I'll just note, Michelle, that that's wrong. It says Deputy Mayor Fernow Cook.
Can you please just leave that? It's been there for ages. I've loved it.
I had noticed it, but I wasn't going to be like
just one more meeting.
It's all right. I know you've been handing out your deputy mayor cards, I know.
So it's been me. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? I declare that carried unanimously. 83/21, which is the Burwood Council annual report, been moved by Councillor Fernow Cook, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Speakers, questions, put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 87/21, which is the Council and Building Local Planning Panel meeting schedules for the remainder, been moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Manner. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 89/21, which is the disclosure of interest. So that's been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Crichton. I believe they're available online if you want to access them. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Now the next item is item 90/21, which is Portland Street, which was removed by Councillor Fernow Cook, seconded by Councillor Manner. Speakers, questions, put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Now we've got reports of committees, so the Burwood Local Traffic Committee. Been moved by, that be received and noted by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manner. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? I declare that carried unanimously. And then obviously item RC 10/21 has been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Chan. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? I declare that carried unanimously. Yeah. Now, Tanya, I've lost control to mute people and I'm getting feedback from Councillor Fernow Cooks.
Yeah, I'm going to go out and come back in again because...
Right. Oh. That's okay. I just need to put you on mute if I can. There we go. All right. Now, answers to questions without notice. IN 2521, which is Design and Building Practitioners, and 2621, SEP Policy Housing, SEP. All information items. We've got a motion to go into closed session. It's been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Fernow Cook. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried. The reason we're going in, because there's two items, item 91/21 and 92/21, because they need to be in closed session to the exclusion of the press and public in accordance with 10A2C of the Local Government Act 1993 of the matters. Both involve information that would, if disclosed, confer a commercial advantage. Okay, so now can we stop the recording, please? Read the two.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Let me just pull them up. So in relation to item 91/21, Burwood Urban Park Cultural Centre concept design package and business case, council resolved to adopt option one, urban park, cultural centre car park with a reduced level of a car park into one level as a preferred option for the project. Adopt the updated concept design package for the Burwood Urban Park and Cultural Centre included under attachment one, noting that revisions will be required, to remove one level of car parking. Three, the council accepted the preliminary business case for the Burwood Urban Park and Cultural Centre under attachment two. Four, council authorised the general manager to progress to the detailed design phase for the preferred option so as to enable lodgement of the DA for the project. Five, council authorised the general manager to complete the capital expenditure review for the option adopted by council and notify the Office of Local Government of the project in accordance with requirements outlined in the New South Wales Office of Local Government Capital Expenditure Guidelines 2010. Six, council adopted the funding strategy for the project as outlined in the report, utilising a portion of the monetary contributions from the VPA to cover the funding shortfall for the project. Seven, council continued resolved to continue to seek external grant opportunities to contribute towards the funding shortfall for the project. Number eight, the council undertake a further community engagement process on the project during the DA notification period extending above the minimum requirements to ensure further feedback and input from the community of the Burwood LGA. And in relation to item 92/21, just going to pull it up on my screen. Council, Burwood Local Planning Panel, appointment of expert members and community representatives. Council resolved to appoint the following experts to the panel for the period 1st January 22 to 28 February 24, being Trevor Bly, Wayne Carter, Marjorie Ferguson, Milan Maricic, Julie Walsh, Luke Foley, Simone Lotz, and Lisa Truman. And council resolved to appoint the following community representatives to the panel for the period 1st January 2022 to 28 February 2028. 2028 should be 24, I think, now that I look at it. Should be in line with the previous one. So the January 22 to 28 February 24, being Claire Boskett, Brian James, Tom Morgan, and Christy Welfare. And council also resolved to formally express its appreciation for the services of retiring community representatives of the Burwood Planning Panel, whose terms will cease on 31st December 2021.
Okay, there being no further business, I declare the meeting closed at 7:52 p.m.